This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Kinsler's back, back again. Shady's back, tell a friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, don't forget, you have another chance to save a life tomorrow by giving blood over at Cruise Subaru, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tomorrow morning into the afternoon, American Red Cross Blood Drive, save a life, give blood. Appointments are preferred, but walk-ins are welcome. Just head over to redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code CRUISE to make your appointment for tomorrow. And all donors receive a complimentary certificate for $35, good for auto service, parts, or accessories at Cruise Subaru, plus a $10 e-gift card, and you will be registered to win a travel trailer camper. So that's pretty cool. $35 for auto service, $10 e-gift card, and a chance to win a travel trailer camper. Plus, you'll be doing a good thing, giving blood, helping to save a life. American Red Cross Blood Drive going on tomorrow at Cruise Subaru, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Trent, you ever go in a camper before? You ever go on a trip? You ever go out camping in a camper?
Never actually been in a camper, I don't think, Luke. That's kind of passed my mind a little bit. But no, I'm not a real big camping guy anyway. So, but if you are, you should go give some blood and see if you can win.
Absolutely. If I ever had, like, money to waste, I think I would get a camper. I don't know how often I would use it to actually go on trips.
Okay.
But, like, shoot, I'll go out and just sit out in the driveway and that thing.
Airstreams are pretty sweet. I would like an Airstream, yeah, if possible.
There's just something about a camper. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've gone on so many trips that I would love to have, like, just be able to go in a bed in the back.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or, like, have a TV. I'm on these buses instead, or even when you're flying. Maybe that's what it is for me. Because, like, I don't think I would actually take advantage and travel the country in a camper or an RV or anything like that. It'd just be cool to have. Even if I was just going like on a two-hour trip, I'll have someone else drive, and I'll go watch TV in the back. I think it's just the fact that I want to spoil myself. I'm tired of sitting there with nothing in a car ride. That I want someone else to drive. I'll be in the back of the RV. I don't care if it's only 90 minutes. I want to watch TV and lay down while we travel for once.
Yeah, get a satellite or you know, a dish or something and watch the games in your camper.
Oh, yeah, are you kidding? And be there before you know it. Now, we had family friends, but they used to be neighbors of ours growing up. They had a camper at one point, and I remember same idea. They would leave it in the driveway, and when we were kids, the parents would be inside doing it. We'd go out in the camper, and we'd just watch TV, and they'd have the fridge stocked out there. You felt like a big shot. Yeah, hang out in the camper and watch TV out there.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They only had it for so long. I don't know how, you know. I think it's one of those things that you like it when you don't have it. Then you get it and you realize, like, I don't know if this was necessary.
This takes up a lot of space in the driveway.
It's true. Or you see the people that have it in the yard. That's not a great
look.
Yeah,
no.
You don't want cars on the lawn. Nah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. No thanks. So I was traveling this past weekend. Traveling is always an experience. It's always interesting. Speaking of traveling, right? I could have used a camper. But I flew this past weekend. Got back last night. Flew back last night. It's always interesting when you travel. You always see different things. It's always a real reminder of just how annoying people can be. And I remember, for example, when I left out of the Charleston airport, there was a lady doing one of those, like, motivational Instagram Live videos right in front of me.
Ooh,
in
nice.
The security line. No, it wasn't nice. In the security line. And she's holding it up, and she's going on some sort of rant, and I'm trying to kind of, like, photobomb it in the background. Oh, what are you doing? Put the phone away. We're in security line doing some sort of inspirational Instagram Live.
Put it in the bin. Come on now.
Yeah,
let's speed the process up.
I know. What are we doing here? You got to have your shoes already untied by the time you get up there. Everyone's in a rush. Nobody's got time for an Instagram Live video. There was a kid slithering on the floor through the security lines.
Oh.
Not even crawling. Just laying on his stomach. I thought, where am I? Get me out of here. And there was another woman that just cut the line. It's crazy, these airports. By the way, when I got to my gate flying out the other day, they ask for the first thing. And there's a comedian that does a joke about it. about how you could be the fourth, you know, you could pay extra to be in group one to board, and yet there's like six other boardings that goes on. If you have young kids, you could get on the plane first. It's like, what am I paying for? But they called for the families to board first. If you have young kids, come up and board. This woman went up, and they wouldn't let her on the plane, and she started to make a scene.
Whoa.
And I wasn't really paying attention. And then I heard her kind of yelling. She did not have a family yet, but she was pregnant.
So
when they called for, if you have young kids, you can board the plane. She kind of did have a young kid, very young. She was pregnant, and they wouldn't let her on the plane because she didn't have kids. And she's yelling, I'm pregnant. And they still wouldn't let her on the plane. I've never seen that before. It's not a bad idea. I've never seen somebody try to get on in the family section of the boarding because they're pregnant. She didn't have any actual kids with her yet. She was, you know, a few months away. She was clearly pregnant, I assume. And, yeah, they wouldn't let her on the plane.
That's crazy. You would think that, you know, just to keep everything calm, you know, you eye up the person who's coming up. All right, will they make a scene? My mom worked for airlines for a long time.
Oh, boy.
You look at them, you make sure, all right, is this person that's going to make a scene? Probably should have known at that point, like, hey, let's just let the lady on the plane because she's going to start yelling and it's going to embarrass me and everybody else around here.
It's true. And it's the old, like, the squeaky wheel gets the oil type of deal. If you're going to put up a big enough stink, they're just going to – usually they will just give you what you want because you're making such a scene. In this case, they stayed firm. They said, sorry, lady, you don't have kids by your side. We're not talking about pregnant women. You can't get on the plane yet. Although I will make an argument, though, to help people board a little – maybe a pregnant woman should be able to board before everyone else so that they're avoiding the, you know, the crowds and everything and they could take a little more time to actually get on the plane.
That should be – yeah, you're right. With, you know, like the military and everything, to let them on first, young children. Yeah, I believe if you're pregnant, you should be able to go on there.
Yeah, you know, if you're – I've never been pregnant, of course, but I imagine you move a little bit slower. Things are a little bit more difficult. If you're a few months in, right, and this woman was clearly pretty far along in her pregnancy – anyways, that didn't work.
People are getting way too bold in airports is what I've noticed. Way too bold. Just in general in this life. Like, people are just getting real bold real quick for some reason.
It's true. I mean, we could probably say the same, too, about sports arenas these days as well. But, yeah. And then so the last thing from my travel experience. The person sitting next to me. This was all on just my trip out there. Coming back yesterday was a lot smoother. The person in the plane next to me flying out. Watched a movie on their phone the whole time. They had no headphones.
Oh, whoa. No.
Yeah.
That's an immediate no. Did you say something?
I didn't.
Ah.
Because I'm too kind. I don't, especially because in this situation, where are you going on a plane? And I'm stuck next to him.
That's a good point.
I could have been kind and said, like, hey, buddy, do you mind, you know, using some headphones? I could have, you know, tried to kill him with sweetness, kill him with kindness. But I didn't say anything. Now, I had my headphones in. So it helps, right? You just turn your music up, but still, I could still hear. And I was wondering, I could hear whatever I was watching, and I was thinking, man, he's got some loud headphones. And then it was about halfway through the fight, I realized, oh, wait a minute. No wonder I could hear it so clearly. He doesn't have any headphones. He's just listening to it right off his phone.
Ugh.
Who gets on a plane without any headphones?
Yeah, and if you don't have headphones, sorry, you know, just basic rule of thumb here, you're not watching anything on your phone or listening to anything on your phone.
I told the story, I believe I told the story on air. When I traveled last year, I lost my headphones on the way to the airport.
Ugh.
Now they got me over a barrel because I'm not getting on this plane without headphones. I'm not going to sit there for 3 hours like David Putty just staring at the seat ahead of me. No thanks. So I had to buy headphones. And, of course, in the airport, everything's jacked up. So I got the cheap little – the headphones you get for free with your iPhone. I spent $50 in the airport just to have headphones. But no way was I getting on that plane thinking like, all right, lost my headphones. Everyone's just going to have to hear my music now. I'm just going to play what I want to listen to. And sucks for the people sitting next to me. Common courtesy for the people next to you on a plane.
Boldness, Luke. Boldness. It's crazy.
It's true. There was a good little move I picked up on, though. I flew an airline where you don't have a seat. You just get on the plane.
Right,
and pick a seat.
Yeah.
There was a woman who didn't want anybody to sit next to her. So she put – I've never seen this before, and I should have thought of this before. She put the tray table down and put her coffee on the tray table for the seat next to her.
Whoa.
So that nobody would come and take that seat.
Now, did you see if anybody ended up, you know, having to sit? Wow.
I think it worked.
That's crazy.
She had an extra seat next to her. Now, obviously, if it's a full plane, you probably can't get away with that. But if it's not a full plane, you never make eye contact. You make it look like you're somebody they don't want to sit next to. And in this case, I guess you put down the tray table. Now, we'll get to Trent's takes coming up. But there are certain things that when you travel, certain things always bother me. So I want to get your takes now as a traveler. I want to see, right? We always put Trent's been on this show now for, I don't know, what it's been a couple of months. We always have to make sure that you know, that we're compatible. Certain tests you have to pass.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I don't know if this relationship, this working relationship can continue. So let me put you to the test with some traveling questions.
Love it.
Let's fire up some music to get us in the mood. When you travel, you get on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever recline your seat on the plane?
Depends on the situation I'm
Uh-oh.
In. If there's somebody behind me, Luke, no, I'll never do it. But if there's nobody behind me, I will. Now, if I'm sitting up in the front of the plane, you know, in the first four or five, yeah, I'm putting that baby back. No problem. No problem about it.
Okay. Not bad.
What do you do?
Never.
Never.
Unless, sure, right. If there's no one behind you,
right.
Okay, go for it. But if there's someone behind me, I never. These planes, these seats shouldn't even be able to recline.
We're tall guys, too, so it is a problem when somebody reclines.
Get them out of here. When the plane lands, do you immediately jump up and run to the front of the plane to get off as soon as you can, or do you wait until your row?
I wait. I don't even stand up until, you know, the row next to me is cleared. I think that's one of the more foolish things that happens on planes. Everybody jumps up.
Yes.
We're all going, you know, we're all leaving at the same time. It's not going to go any quicker, folks.
Good man. That's the right answer. I can't stand the people that are running to the front of the plane. Have some courtesy. Do you carry, will you check a bag, or do you try to skirt the bag fees and bring on a real oversized carry-on that you're trying to jam into the overhead bin?
No, not really. I think I always have a duffel bag with me, and you're able to, you know, kind of squeeze those together.
Yeah.
But no, I don't check the bags often, Luke, so I do try to bring as much as I can on the plane. Always have, you know, my laptop bag and then the
mm-hmm.
duffel bag as well.
I'm the same way. I'll check a bag if I have to. I don't mind.
If you have to. If you're going on a long trip and you got a big suitcase, yeah, check it.
I always do the duffel bag, though.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm with you there. I can't stand the people that come on with these huge suitcases that don't even fit in the overhead bin. They just don't want to spend the $20 to check a bag. Get them out. All right, you sit down on the plane. Are you chatting up your seatmates, or you keep to yourself on a flight?
I think you got to have some self-awareness there. You got to, you know, eye out the situation. I've found, though, if you're sitting next to, you know, some older folks potentially, I always enjoy chatting with them a little bit because they're, you know, holding a newspaper. I'll make a comment about something, and then, boom, we're off and rolling. And I've noticed that younger folks, when you're sitting next to them, they don't want to chat. Hey, and I feel you. But, no, you got to feel it out. But I'll chat for a little bit, but my headphones are going in as soon as that door closes. Don't get it twisted.
It is true about the age. I've tried to explain this to my mother. She still doesn't seem to understand, right? There's certain where I live, there's community events. Every once in a while, I'll go to the, it's all older people. So my mother was in town a couple, I always tell her this. Younger people, we do not do these types of things. We don't get together for a happy hour at the community, you know, the office or whatever. It's not just what, we don't do it. That's an older crowd. So when she was in town a couple weeks ago, we went to something and she said, oh, you're right. It's a lot of, I've been trying to tell you, younger people do not socialize like that as much as older people do.
No, we socialize 10 o'clock at night and on. That's how it is.
How early are you getting to the airport for your flight?
Ooh, I like to push it. I'll push it. Yeah, okay. You know, cool, because I usually fly standby anyway through some,
yes.
you know, family connections. So, yeah, I push it all the way to as far as possible. Now, my parents, on the other hand, my dad's the type of guy that's like, hey, we need to get there, you know, 2.5 hours early. Oh. I want to be in security. I want to be rolling through and be sitting there for a while. No, my mom and I are kind of like, we're going to go get a bagel, and then we're going to see if we get on this plane. Like, that's it.
I'm in the middle.
Okay.
I worked for a program. We had a college basketball coach who needed to be there at least 2 hours. We needed to be at the gate at least 2 hours before we leave.
Oh.
We'd get up at like 6 a.m. for, you know, it's like, why are we doing this? We have so much time to kill. That was crazy. But on the flip side, my brother really he's missed more flights than anybody because, you don't have to get there till, you know, 45 minutes before. And then the airport's busy and he doesn't get to his gate. I do not want to miss a flight. Knock on wood, I've never missed a flight. So I'm somewhere in between. You don't need the full 2 hours. So make sure you're giving yourself enough time. You don't know how busy the airport may be.
I show up an hour before the flight. So I go through security. Takes me about like 15, 20 to get through security, depending on the day. And then, you know, by then they're already boarding. So
yeah.
It's like I might as well just go stand, see what's up.
Not bad. Couple last ones. You ever bring hot food on a plane?
Never. I don't want to be that guy. It's like bringing, you know, an egg salad sandwich like Oscar did in The Office when Michael was looking for a snack because he thought he could get a meal and it was under 2 hour flight. But no, I'm definitely not that person. I will bring a bagel on though. There's no doubt.
That's fine. Yeah, I'll bring some snacks on. I'll bring some cold food. I'm not busting out. You got the guy sitting next to you with the P.F. Chang's or something, right? No, thanks.
Asking the flight attendant, can you warm this up for me?
No, get him out. And then lastly, this isn't about flying. I think you passed the test pretty well. Nothing really stands out there about being an obnoxious traveler. But just the last question about traveling in general. Because I went on a trip with a bunch of buddies, like I said. We were all pretty in line. You get there the first day, we took it kind of easy. When you go on a trip, wherever you arrive at your destination, is the first day a relaxing day just to settle in, or do you try to set the tone by going out and maybe going on an excursion or doing something you want to take advantage of that first day? How do you treat the start of your vacation?
Well, I mean, if I'm getting in late, you know, let's just tie it up. Let's, you know, get at it tomorrow. But if I'm getting into a place, Luke, around like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I'm hitting the ground running. Let's move. Oh. Like, here we go. Let's roll. Let's hit a good restaurant. Let's get a couple margs in us and see where, you know, this trip takes us. I enjoy that more than, you know, hanging and waiting for the next day.
Interesting. All right, I'm kind of the opposite though.
Okay.
I like to get settled in. Let's take it easy. Tomorrow we'll wake up, hit the ground running.
Okay, yeah.
But first day, let's get settled in. Maybe I got to adjust to the time change right off. It's a whole thing.
It's an hour difference. I got to catch up on my sleep.
I tell you what, this hour, though, it confuses you. Not so much, yeah, the sleep and your body feels fine, but just the time. Like, wait a minute, you have to do the math every time.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, what is that 6 o'clock our time or 6 o'clock their time? And you try to figure, and then I go on these apps. I don't know if my phone's adjusted, like the apps. Are they telling me this game's tipping off at 6 o'clock Eastern or Central? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing.
When you're on the West Coast, it is brutal. I mean, it's like 4:30, and we've got the primetime, you know, games going on. It's like,
I remember when I went out there to visit my brother once, and the Red Sox were on at like 10 a.m. They were playing day baseball, and it was 10 a.m. out there. It was kind of nice. You wake up, oh, here the Red Sox are on right away. But I don't think I would like that.
No.
Watching the NFL at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. All right, I think you passed the test with pretty much flying colors.
Tried to.
Recline the seat. That's most important. And don't run to the front of the plane when it lands either.
No, that is the most obnoxious thing anybody can do. Like, I don't care the loud talkers or whatever, the people just, you know, having a ball on the plane. I've been on a couple planes, Luke, with a couple bachelorette parties. Mm. Let me tell you something. Those are ones you want to get off of. Like, hey, I appreciate you, you know, having a good time. You guys are, you know, living it up. They're buying, you know, the $8 mini bottles of wine and, you know, having a blast. But it's just like, I don't need this on a plane. We're here for 2.5 hours. Let's just strap in, folks.
That's right. See you when you land. Coming up, F1. Formula One racing kind of stole the weekend. But more importantly, somebody stole the show of the show. I'll explain what I mean when we come back. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, Formula One stole the weekend. And then somebody stole that show as well. It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Formula One, F1 racing. They were in Miami over the weekend, and they had like 100,000 people at this thing or something, maybe even more. It was a huge crowd and a lot of celebrities, and it was a big deal. Trent, are you into the F1 racing at all?
You know, I watched a couple seasons of the documentary. I believe it's called Drive to Survive on Netflix. It's a very good documentary, and I think that's why a lot of people got into it. There's a lot of drama involved, and all the money that's involved as well is absolutely crazy. But, I mean, it's a cool take on, you know, car racing, and I really enjoy it. But, no, I haven't watched too many, you know, live races because sometimes they are on at random times. You know, you got to wake up super early to watch it. But I think it's a really cool thing that's kind of taking over the world right now.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I do think a lot of it comes from that documentary. That was like the smartest thing they could do to get in front of a lot of, especially young people, but a lot of viewers to show their sport in a different light or just in general to expose people to something that they weren't familiar with. That's why golf has since announced, I don't know how far along they are, when it's going to come out, but they announced something similar with Netflix as like a behind-the-scenes look. Obviously, the NFL started it with Hard Knocks. The NHL has gotten into it over the years. I think it's a smart move to showcase your athletes or your sport or just the personalities in a way like that. And in this case, for F1, it seems like it's really brought in a large group of viewers. I know people in my life that never were into racing, NASCAR, nothing. and then watched this documentary, and I've heard so many good, or not even a documentary, but like a reality show, and heard so many good things. And I don't know if they actually watch F1 racing now, but they at least, you know, they watch the show and they know some of the names and what it's about, and they're more intrigued. So that may have been the best business decision that the sport has made. So this was a big race in Miami, and they were one of the big events of the sports weekend. But within that, somebody kind of stole the show. They have a guy who's like a pit reporter. He does it all the time. He interviews people. And look, it's a tough job. He's walking around just trying to find people to interview. And I'm sorry, I don't even have his name in front of me. But he does it at all these races. People watch. They know who he is. He works for Sky Sports over in England. He kind of had a rough day. But again, it's a tough job. I haven't been in this exact situation, but I've done sideline reporting where sometimes you just have to interview somebody in a split-second notice. I've done even by doing radio shows. When you're out in public and you're at an event and they bring someone over, I'm like, hey, can you have them on the show? And they won't do it during a commercial break. They just plop down and put the headset on. I'm like, I don't know who I'm talking to. And you don't have any time to do any research or look up anything, and you're just trying to kind of fumble your way through an interview. Like, I don't know who this is. I don't know anything about them. You just brought them over to me and put them on air because they're involved in this event that I'm at. But you gave me no information. So all that's to say, this guy doesn't have the easiest job. He's going around just trying to find people to interview and do it, you know, on the fly. With that said, he kind of screwed up a couple of the people he was interviewing. This was the best part of the whole F1 event. This first clip, I believe, is when he thinks he's talking to Patrick Mahomes. Turns out it's not Patrick Mahomes. Here's how it sounded.
This is crazy. I've never been to an F1 race. This is spectacular.
It's amazing to be allowed right in the middle of the competitors just before the race starts.
Yeah, now you can see they locked in. It reminds me of myself. But the real focus.
Okay, it's not Patrick. That's why he ignored me in the beginning. But what is your name, sir?
Paulo Banchero.
Right, okay. Well, I thought I was talking to somebody else. So I'm sorry about that. Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. He thought he was talking to Patrick Mahomes. It was Paulo Banchero from Duke. Now, I guess I could see some similarities. It really just comes down to the hair, I guess. And I don't know how much he's into the NFL. Obviously not enough to think it was Patrick Mahomes. But the big difference is Banchero's 6'9". Actually, he's listed at 6'10". Right? So that's a pretty big difference. Mahomes is listed at 6'3". So again, this guy may not be as into the American sports scene as you or I. But that's a pretty big difference, a 7-inch difference between Mahomes and Banchero. Plus, Banchero just looks younger. They don't look exactly alike. You could tell them apart. The guy's name is Martin Brundle, and that's gone viral for confusing those two. If you're Paulo Banchero, that's got to be a shot to the ego, though, right? Like, he's interviewing you. You're about to be a top pick in the draft. You just had a good year at Duke. And yet still, this guy who works in sports media, interviewing sports personalities, even he didn't know who you were. Now, Banchero's not even in the NBA yet, so it's not like he's been in the league for 20 years. But that's got to be a little bit of a shot to the ego that he thought you were someone else. He didn't know who you were. He thought you were a Patrick Mahomes. You're still in the shadow of Mahomes. You're getting interviewed on TV. You're at a race. You're feeling good. And then, oh, wait a minute. Who are you? You're not Patrick Mahomes? That's always so embarrassing when somebody thinks you're somebody that you're not. Well, the interviews continued. And at one point, he also confused another popular athlete. This one is a little bit more defensible because I would probably confuse Serena and Venus Williams as well. That's what he did here. He's talking to Venus Williams. He thinks it's Serena. But more than that, it's just an awkward exchange on the interview. Here's how that sounded.
Serena, good to see you. So tell us, what do you think of this event here in Miami?
Oh, we love having Lewis and all the drivers in Miami. So wishing them luck. It's the first time of many. Hey. Oh. What's the question?
No, it doesn't really matter. Just good to hear. Nice to talk to you, actually, but we'll want to back down. Well, that was a nice...
She was saying hi to other people. She forgot the question. She kind of stopped mid-answer. Just an awkward exchange. Now, credit to this interviewer, Martin Brundle, who takes everything in stride. He doesn't care. Right? He thinks Banchero's Mahomes. Doesn't care. Laughs it off. Venus Williams kind of stands him up mid-question, leads to an awkward interview. He calls her the wrong name. Doesn't care. He keeps it moving. Now, Venus and Serena, again, I'll be honest. Like, I don't know. If I came across them in the street, I don't know if I would. And a lot of these celebrities, I'll also be honest with you, I think I would recognize Patrick Mahomes and Paulo Banchero. There's a lot of celebrities or just athletes that if you saw him in the street, I don't know if you would recognize them when they're not like in their uniform or their normal sports gear. Certain guys, absolutely. Like Tom Brady, you're noticing him. Patrick Mahomes, you're probably noticing. Boncaro is 6'10". That would stand out. But like I remember when my father and I, we ran into Jerry Seinfeld at a pizza place. And I didn't think it was him. Because part of it was also like, what is he doing here? But it's just different when you see him in person. I've watched Seinfeld on TV hundreds of hours. But it's just, it's a little bit different when you try to recognize them in person. But I'm going to stop defending Martin Brundle because it's still hilarious. The third one is not a celebrity, or at least not an athlete. And Martin doesn't really know who it is, but he thinks he's interesting. Here's the third clip from Martin Brundle's day working the F1 race in Miami.
Sir, I don't know who you are, but I'd like to know who you are. I'm Martin Brundle from Sky. You look a very interesting character.
Social media sensation, let's say this.
And modest, too. And, what do you do on social media? What is your name, sir?
Gianluca Vacchi.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I didn't know, but I'm really pleased to have met you. Went well. And... has anybody seen any racing drivers?
I love that. Went well, and he says it quickly, just moving on. But again, always laughing. He doesn't take himself too seriously, able to laugh it off. He knows it's a tough job. He's got to go around, fill time, just interview random people. And I love at the very end of the clip, he says, has anyone seen any drivers? He wants to interview some people he actually knows instead of this guy who claims to be a social media star. I have no – he said his name. I don't know what I don't know what his name is. I don't know who that guy was. But I'll tell you what. You give me Martin Brundle going around trying to interview random people not knowing who they are, I'm tuning in to F1 for the first time. I've never actually watched Formula One racing. I don't really have any desire to, unless you give me Martin Brundle. This guy needs his own show. This is fantastic. Now, anybody familiar with the sport has said that this is commonplace. This is what goes on. There just happen to be maybe more celebrities to choose from at this actual race. But he just goes around interviewing people, trying to figure out who they are, asking questions. I love this guy. Again, in his defense, it's not the easiest job. He's got a producer in his ear just, all right, go find somebody to interview. You're walking around. You grab somebody quickly. You don't have time to double check. I think this is somebody. I think this is an athlete. You have the wrong name. You think there's somebody else. You're not as familiar with the sports. It is what it is. That's why you need, like, a field producer. Same idea. When we go out and do remotes, it helps when you have that field producer and then give you the information. Instead of someone just sitting down, it's like, all right, I got to come up with some questions. I have no idea who this person is, but I have to interview him. Nonetheless, funny videos out of the F1 race in Miami. I'll tune in just to watch more of Martin Brundle.
Went well. That was hilarious. That was so funny. I mean, the interview was horrible, and he said it went well.
That's the best. You can't take yourself too seriously, especially in a situation like that. Makes it even better. Love that guy. Coming up, we'll get to Trent's Takes. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
I'm headed to downtown, town, in style. With all my favorite cars, yes, sir. All my favorite cars, my sisters and my brothers, see them like no other. All my favorite cars. It's a good day.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. And don't forget, we have Citadel Baseball tonight, 6 p.m. first pitch at home against Winthrop. Both teams desperate for a victory. Now, these two played one another in the midweek, about a week ago, and the Citadel won up in Rock Hill. Now they're going to play in the Lowcountry tonight. The Citadel, they have lost 6 straight games on the diamond since that victory against Winthrop. And Winthrop, they have lost, I think it's now 13 straight for baseball. They have only 11 straight losses for Winthrop. They have only 13 wins this year. So, two scuffling programs playing tonight. We'll have it for you with the coverage beating there at first pitch at 6 o'clock tonight on our sister station. We're down to the final 2 weeks of the college baseball regular season. So, the season's winding down, and the Citadel will be looking to get a good win tonight, snap that losing streak before hosting Samford this weekend. So, Citadel baseball tonight, 6 o'clock on our sister station. Good to be back. We dive right in. Citadel baseball tonight. Good to be back with you today after a couple days off. And therefore, I'm sure there's plenty to get to now. As we do around this time every day, it's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The Radio Cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. You know, the Panthers should have drafted you over Matt Corral. I was kind of thinking that. Better value, you know, if you would have gone in the 6th, 7th round. You know, you're not paying a guy a couple million. You know, you're getting at least 500K. I don't know why they didn't decide that, Luke. That was interesting on the scouting department's firm.
Yeah, I was waiting around by the phone all weekend, and I was shocked I never got the phone call.
Looking for the Charlotte area code. Yeah. Yeah, hoping and praying that it's going to come. Yeah. That's absolutely hilarious. Luke had a blast last night. We'll say that, obviously, celebrating the 21st birthday. I will say, completely forgot that we have Citadel Baseball tonight. So wish I could take back a couple things that were that transpired throughout the evening. But glad to be back with you, sir. And let's see if the Citadel can get a win. We have to talk about this, though, Luke. Tom Brady, all right, has signed a deal with Fox. Now, this news came down this morning. He will be the lead analyst, the Troy Aikman of Fox Sports, whenever he retires, which is interesting. Now, him signing this deal, all the speculation is, okay, so he's got one more year left in him. And now the contract details are coming out, Luke, and he might want to retire right now because reports say, and it was first done by the New York Post, so, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt, but then other networks came out and did confirm it, a 10-year, $375 million deal with Fox Sports. Folks, that's $37.5 million per year. And I remember just a few years back, Luke, we were, everybody was up in arms about Tony Romo getting, you know, $17 million. And then Troy Aikman signs a deal with ESPN, gets a massive contract. Joe Buck does the same. But Tom Brady, who has never called a game in his life, and I'm sure he's going to be great. He's got a great personality. He's obviously one of the smartest football minds we've ever had. He's the greatest of all time. But that is a crazy number to put out there for a guy that has zero broadcasting experience whatsoever. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if I've ever seen him in a booth or on a studio show or something like that. Obviously, he's the greatest to ever do it, so he'll figure it out. But a wild move by Fox there.
It really is. So many thoughts about this. Now, I think he'll be much better than Tony Romo.
Oh, I agree.
Just kind of like their playing days as well. Romo seems like somebody who doesn't – I don't know. I don't want to say he doesn't take it too seriously, but I think Brady would treat his broadcasting just like his playing career. I think he's watching film all week. He's going to be locked in. He's going to come on with great stuff prepared. I think Brady will be a great broadcaster just because I think he'll be good at anything he does. I'm surprised, though. I did not think he had any interest or desire in being a broadcaster. I thought he would go off and do either his TB12 stuff or maybe get into ownership, or it's more like a Peyton Manning than actually working the games every Sunday in a booth. So I was surprised by this news this morning. I don't think it necessarily means next year. I could see Brady still playing, and then there's plan B. But he's going to make more money off of this contract than he did playing football, which is absurd. And I'll also say this, two last things, because I could probably talk about this all afternoon. This is very fascinating to me. Number one, the idea about him retiring was to spend more time with his family. And now as soon as he retires, he's going to jump back into not a full football schedule. He's not going to have the off seasons. He's not going to have maybe practice during the week. But you're in these cities Thursday to Sunday when you do these games. So I know it's not as much as what he's doing now. But the whole idea was, I got to be a father. And then he's going to jump into his next job immediately. Seems odd. And the other thing I'll say is I feel bad for Greg Olson.
Mm-hmm.
He got promoted to the number one booth with Burkhart this year. And then as quickly as a year from now, Brady's going to come in and take his job from him to replace Aikman. And I think Greg Olson does a good job. So I feel bad for him. He's going to finally get a chance. It doesn't matter how good of a job he does this year. Brady's already signed on for that much money. He's going in that number one booth regardless of what happens over the next 12 months. I'm shocked. I'm shocked by the amount of money. I'm shocked that Brady's doing it. 10-year deal is a big commitment. For that type of money, you're going to need year-round work from Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He probably won't. It'll probably just be the Sunday games. But if I'm paying a guy that much money, I need him to do a lot of different things for me throughout the year.
I think I read that he's going to be involved in, like, promotions and kind of clients and stuff like that. So they're going to parade Tom Brady around,
you know,
at all these events, which makes sense. But you're right about Greg Olson. I really enjoyed him, like, calling those Panthers games, you know, that'd be on Fox. He was on the call. Really enjoyed him. But we got to think now, Luke, like, with Apple TV and Amazon and maybe Netflix or one of these, you know, other streaming services besides Amazon, getting into the NFL. I'm sure Greg Olsen is going to get his bag at some point. He might need to build up a few more years, but that's also why it's so fascinating with Tom Brady. He's never been in a booth before. We've seen Greg Olsen do it for a year now, did very well. I didn't really enjoy Mark Sanchez as much as Greg Olsen, but I think both of those guys, I mean, they definitely had a shot to be the number one, but Tom Brady said, you know, hold my beer. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to fix this program. And it's also good for Brady because it seems like that competitive fire is still there with him. So even if this season doesn't end in a Super Bowl, you know, like you mentioned, he's going to go right back into the film room and start preparing for, you know, every single game that he's doing. He'll probably start doing that prep work in the summer because he's just an absolute freak competitor. It's unbelievable.
Now, I do have to be fair. I was somewhat critical of Drew Brees for coming up with his deal before he retired. So I got to say the same thing about Brady. Bill Parcells would always say, if you have a plan B, you don't have a plan A. I don't like when somebody comes up with already the retirement plan while they're still playing. To me, that's almost like, you know, having a foot out the door already. You still have, who knows, maybe Brady plays another 2 years and you're already making plans for what are you going to do after you retire. That was a concern for me in Brees' final year. So I got to be fair and say for Tom Brady, if I'm Brady, wait until you actually retire. Well, why do you need to think about the future now, even though he's like 45 years old? I want your undivided attention on your current job before you start focusing on your next career.
No, that's a great point. And yeah, you're right about Brees. He did have that before, you know, he retired. And we saw how the last season went. I wouldn't put it all on, you know, the broadcasting job, but also his arm was, you know, kind of noodly, so, you know, that was a problem. But we'll see how Brady does this year. Excited to, you know, hear him in the booth and his insight.
Yeah.
Luke, I don't know if you've been keeping up with hockey, you might have, but the Pittsburgh Penguins are on an absolute roll right now. 7-2 win last night against the Rangers. They're up 3-1 in the series. Luke, it feels like 0-9. We all know it. Sidney Crosby's the best hockey player on the ice. It's no problem. He's dishing out assists. Malkin is absolutely crushing it. And we don't have a starting goalie. We've been rotating goalies and still crushing it. Now, Edmonton plays tonight, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Series tied 2-2.
Huge game.
Huge game. And they are favored heavily tonight. I believe on the money line, it's minus 220. Luke, how are you feeling about your Edmonton Oilers? And how about the Wonder Kid? You know, the awesome story. Where's he been at? Where's the good luck charm, Luke? I don't know what's going on with the Oilers right now.
I'm very nervous about the Oilers. The Penguins handed it to the Rangers. So much for the Rangers. The Rangers had the goalie with the best statistics.
Yeah.
He was the best goalie this year. They put 7 goals on the board last night. They've been dominating.
And the night before, I think they had 5 or 6, if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken.
Oh, they've been killing them.
Killing it.
Meanwhile, yeah, my Oilers, they lost. My buddy Ben was in attendance out there in L.A., and they still lost. So that's not a good show. That's the first time they've lost with him in attendance. So I'm concerned about the good luck charm. But tonight's huge. Game 5, they're at home. They have to win tonight. Now, for those unfamiliar, we have a little bit of a show bet. Trent picked the Penguins. I picked the Oilers. Whichever team gets eliminated first, you lose the bet. You're going to have to do something. We came up with a millionaire's pie, but then I got a message that somebody may be delivering a millionaire's pie.
Somebody may be delivering a millionaire's pie here soon, Luke. And also, we might get a, you know, pie to the face at some point, whoever loses. So
we may have to come up. We'll see. We may have to alter the punishment. But, yes, you have the Penguins. They're sitting pretty. My Oilers, big game tonight. They better win.
Yeah, McDavid's got to step up, Luke. This is why they drafted him number one overall. He's the wonder kid. He's got to step up for the Oilers. It's unbelievable. I forgot to ask you a question that was going around. I believe Diana Rossini tweeted about it this morning. She said her husband asked which stovetop is the favorite on the stove. Now, you remember the guy with the sign during the pandemic, and he would stand outside and they would read something and be like, he says that the front right burner is the best on the stovetop. I absolutely agree with that, Luke. I think the front right, is even if it's a small circle, it's still the best one. Once you get to the big ones, it's a little difficult. I want to ask you, Luke Morrow, these are the hard-pressing questions we ask here on Trent's Takes. Which stove is the best?
This is a great question. I've never thought about it, but now that you bring it up, I always use the front right as well.
Yep.
Now, I'm a righty, so I'm curious. If I was a lefty, would I go front left?
That's a good point. That is a good point that I haven't thought about, you know, the righties and lefties. But I feel like it's easier, you know, to put it on the front right. But again, right-handed as well. So maybe some lefties out there, give us a call and see, you know, which burner you use. I never use the back ones unless I have to. Unless I'm going, you know, Luke, you're making your chicken parm. If you've got multiple, you know, stoves going.
Yeah. What are you, a sociopath? Nobody uses the back burners unless the front are taken. My mother's a lefty. I'm going to have to ask if she goes with the front left over the front. I'm always front right. And I'll tell you what, if I do use two, I don't want them That's the one time I will use a back burner. I don't like the two pots next to each other, so I'll go diagonal.
Oh, okay. You'll go. Oh, I like
it. I'll get
it.
The pasta in one. I got the sauce going in the other, but I'll go diagonal. I don't want them next to each other. I want a little space to work around.
True Paizan cooking techniques, right?
Yeah,
there.
That's right. That's right. Keep your pots diagonal. They don't want to be touching.
I didn't realize they taught that in culinary school. That's absolutely
rule
phenomenal.
Number one. Yeah.
And the last thing here, Luke, Miami Heat bench needs to step up. They need to step up in the big moments. Tyler Herro's had his, shining moment with the 25 points off the bench. Absolutely phenomenal. But Duncan Robinson, the Miami Heat, my Miami Heat are paying this guy $90 million to hit threes for us. That's all we need you to do, Duncan. And Luke, ask me how many minutes he's played in the Philadelphia-Miami series. Do you know?
How many minutes?
1 minute.
Oh, my goodness.
A singular minute. Duncan Robinson, he's been dealing with some injury issues, but we pay you $90 million, pal. Yes, that's coming out of my pocket, Pat Riley. We pay you $90 million to go out there and hit threes, and with your buddy Tyler Herro as well, Jack Harlow made a song about him, dominating South Beach. He's got nothing. We've got nothing right now, Luke, and we're letting James Harden, who looks about 30 pounds overweight, come in there and hit step backs like nobody's business. What are we doing?
Yeah. He's getting $18 million this year to sit on the bench. That's pretty good.
Yeah, great.
Even in the Hawks series, he didn't play. He didn't play a ton. And then now he's been the invisible man against the Sixers.
He's focusing on his podcast, trying to build that thing up. I feel you, pal. But Draymond Green also is going out there playing as hard as he can every single night, and then going right back to his podcast to report. You can do both, Duncan. You can do both.
Like I just said about Brady, if you have a plan B, you don't have a plan A.
That's a good point.
Duncan Robinson's getting too wrapped up in his plan B. Plan A is going by the wayside. Game 5 tonight, you think they win?
Luke, I never bet against the Miami Heat. That's been a problem of mine for years and years. Never bet against Florida Gators, never bet against Packers or the Miami Heat. But tonight, I don't know. It's a 2.5-point spread here.
Ooh.
So I'm leaning towards Miami. I will bet on Miami, but, if James Harden is playing the way he plays and Joel Embiid just has an average game, I feel very, very, backwards about the Miami Heat tonight.
I think Miami wins, and I would bet – I haven't looked at it. I would bet the under on James Harden for points. After what we saw the other night, I don't think he – I think that was the outlier. I don't think he does it in back-to-back games. And I think Miami wins at home, even with Embiid now playing.
It is tough to go into Miami. That's always – it's a very hostile environment. It's difficult, especially everybody's wearing the white. Even though, I think the thing with Miami Heat fans, they come in around late first quarter, early second quarter, but once they're all in there, Luke, it gets real rowdy real quick.
Yeah, the Heat had the best home record in the East. The Dolphins, going back to Tom Brady, he always struggled to win in Miami. And people say football, it's a little bit different. You're outside, you have to deal with the weather. But also just you get into Miami maybe the day or two before the game. People have a little too much fun in that city. There's that Miami, the Miami flu that helps these teams that are located in these cities.
I'm sure James Harden has his jersey hung up in the rafters everywhere around Miami. Are you kidding me?
Harden just had the best game he's had in months. He's feeling good about himself. He's in Miami. Oh, no doubt.
He's going to
celebrate. He's going to be a little sluggish tonight. He was out late last night.
Joel Embiid's sitting in the gym trying to, repair his face.
Yeah.
And James Harden's out at LIV at 4 in the morning having
That's
a great
right.
time.
Yeah. So I think Miami wins tonight. I think Harden, compared to what he did the other night, has a disappointing game. Man, wouldn't it be fun to be there tonight for Game 5?
Yeah, it would, Luke. It would. It would be a lot of fun to be there tonight in Miami on a great night. It's beautiful down there. Wish I could be there.
Yeah,
really wish I could be there.
That'd be cool. That'd be nice. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. It's the Mar Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Wrapping up hour two on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Ran through Trent's takes last segment. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. But the big question was, what burner do you use when you're going to boil a pot of water? Both Trent and myself, front right. On the text line, you can always text the show, 843-608-1734. On the text line, somebody said, on my old stove, I use the burner that works. Also a good answer. And my mother has weighed in because we were curious. Is it because we're righties that we always use the front right burner? Just seems easy. It seems normal. You grab the pot, you just put it on the front, and you go with the right hand, so you put it on the right side. Well, my mother's a lefty. I think she's the only lefty I actually know. She said she goes front left.
Oh, okay. Okay, now that makes sense. All right.
I guess it comes down to, of course you're going front. The real questionable response would be if anybody says they prefer one of the back burners. That's questionable.
Yeah, now we have to have a deeper conversation about what's about to happen.
Especially if, like, you know, for me, it's underneath the microwave.
Sure.
So now if there's a big open space over the top, okay, I get it. That's more accessible. Maybe you want it a little further back. But it's a pain when you use those back burners and you're reaching under the microwave and everything. And, look, I'm not in Alice in Wonderland or something, but still, there's not a lot of room to operate getting back there. So, yeah, I go front right. My mother's a lefty. She goes front left. So I guess it comes down to just if you're a righty or a lefty, you pick the side in the front of the burners that you use.
Ma Dukes goes with the left. Yeah. All right. Good to know. Good to know.
By the way, we weren't on the air yesterday or Friday, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Hopefully you did something nice for your wife, your mother, your grandmother, all the mothers in your life. Hopefully you did something nice on Mother's Day because, of course, they always deserve it, each and every day, not just Mother's Day. So happy belated Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Of course, my mom as well. Did you do something nice for Mother's Day?
We went a nice brunch, had a good time. I was actually born on Mother's Day, Luke. So, you know, there you go. That was the greatest gift that I could ever give my mom.
You can't top it.
No, you can't.
You can't do anything better than that.
Flowers don't even come close.
No, of course not. So you're off the hook. That's what you could say. I can't get you anything better than myself. Huh? No more gifts for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Hour 3 coming up. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.